do this. Get set.
Head for the open door.
This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Jasinski on AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
That day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run. So I ran to the end of the road. When I got there...
And for a little run, I did... Welcome to Running Flat Radio. I'm Chris Jasinski. You're listening to AM 800 on the Bell Media Network. You know what? If you're unfamiliar with Running Flat Radio, it's a show all about endurance kind of sports, mostly running, cycling, triathlon. And you know what? Today is a show that is just going to focus on cheating. Yeah, today is our show that's really all about kind of investigative reporting on cheating.
Number 8, Rosie Ruiz, a lie of marathon proportions.
This unknown runner came out of nowhere ahead of all the other women.
Unknown runner Rosie Ruiz won 1980's Boston Marathon in record time, literally without breaking a sweat. Only she couldn't recite race details and no one remembered seeing her running. That's because she didn't.
Have you been doing a lot of heavy intervals?
Someone else has been. I'm not sure what intervals are. What are they?
She jumped into the race right before the finish. Turns out she'd done the same thing in the New York City Marathon to qualify for Boston, too. Except there, she took the subway.
Is someone coaching you or advising you?
No, I advise myself.
Number 7.
Rosie Ruiz. Yep, so this entire show is kind of dedicated to, you know, bib cloners, course cutters, race director bribers. Yes, it does happen. And all-around deceitful cheating runners. Over the past couple weeks, a blogger under the name of Marathon Investigations has been creating a shockwave about the Boston Marathon. And we introduce you to Derek Murphy behind all that. He's from Cincinnati, Ohio. And he's been kind of deep diving this issue and showing us how people are cheating. So Derek's going to join us about a quarter after the hour. And then, of course, you know, we're going to have Song of the Week at about quarter to the hour, and then we always can end off the show with our good friend Ben Kaplan, the editor-in-chief of iRun magazine. All of that coming up in this show. You know, if you're unfamiliar with Running Flat, you can go to runningflat.com or follow us on Twitter at Running Flat. We're a company dedicated to putting on just great big endurance events and getting as many people involved and getting as many people out there as we possibly can. And the reality is, we kind of work all year for this running season. Our running season really starts from May and goes right through Zombie Chase in October. And, you know, we start off our season with this incredible race called Le Chocolat. And Le Chocolat is a half marathon in Windsor on the waterfront. It's a 10K, and it's also home of the 10K National Championship for all age groups for Canada. And a 5K, and you can run or walk any of them. It kind of starts and ends at the Walkerville Brewery and, you know, kind of takes you onto Riverside Drive. And it's basically from Walker Road all the way to the bridge is all closed down. Beautiful waterfront vista of the Detroit River and Detroit skyline. And it's always the weekend before Mother's Day. So it's coming up May 1st. And Le Chocolat is pretty much sold out. I think there's 10 spots left in it. So it kind of brings us up to almost 2,500 runners, making us the largest run in Southern Ontario, along with just almost half of those folks coming from out of town and visiting the region. So the medals have been kind of, we took pictures and kind of leaked them out. They're absolutely stunning. You know, we've had two, in the past 9 years, we've had two awards for producing the medals to run for in Canada and one of the best marathon medals, top 10 marathon medals for our War of 1812 medal that we produced for Run for Heroes a number of years ago. I gotta tell you, when I look at the bevy of medals we've made over the last number of years, and I look at these, they are absolutely stunning. Whoever's running, and they are finisher's medals, so you have to finish complete your race or your run, and you'll get one of these, but they're absolutely stunning keepsakes. So really, really proud of the way those turned out. And also, we have Running Girl Wine. It's an event that's sponsored by our good friends at the Pelee Island Wineries in Kingsville and on Pelee Island. you're going to love Running Girl wines. It's an absolutely wonderful brand, and it's a great tasting product. And it also comes in kind of like this this keepsake wine carrier for you as well. That's the swag this year. So Le Chocolat, check it out. Go to runningflat.com and also go to our Facebook page, because we post everything there. We post, I think the bibs are going up next within the next couple days, and because they're all done, they're all chipped. And which reminds me, I do want to talk to all of you who are new to running about things not to do with your race bib and things to do with your race bib. So look, at the race bib has the number, has the name of the race on it. On the back of it, we put on two timing chips. Now, these are RFID chips. If you have one at home, take a look at it. There's a little battery embedded to what looks like a small antenna device that's also embedded into like a plastic label. That's your RFID chip. It's geared to your bib. Do not roll it. Do not fold it or cut it up or just, you know, shove it in your suitcase. It's something that is constantly kind of broadcasting as you're running. And they actually, believe it or not, they broadcast for almost a year, that signal. And what's really important is that, you know, we actually get to count you when you cross the finish line. So next week, I think I'm going to dedicate part of the show to a little bit about the bib, a little bit what to expect in a race, you know, kind of get all the anxieties down for all the newbies who are joining us next weekend. And also, next week, Julie Weiss, an old friend of mine, who's, you know, I think she ran her 100th marathon at the LA Marathon when I was down there in the start chute. And so proud we're going to have her on and talk about all the money she's raised for charity over the last number of years and her quest to run 100 marathons. You'll just fall in love with her. She's just such a wonderful person and a great ambassador for the sport. So that's Le Chocolat, Canada Day. Canada Day, we just released a major press release that's being carried across the country. It's all about that Canada Day has the virtual race. You have the choice of when you register to have Wayne Gretzky, Don Cherry, or Clara Hughes to be on the medal this year at Canada Day. And, you know, past winners have been, you know, Sir Johnny McDonald, Terry Fox, Colonel Chris Hadfield. It's such a wonderful event because it's all about red and white, and we even have butter tarts at the end. I mean, that's how Canadian this event is. And, you know, Bob and Doug McKenzie are on the course. It's a lot of fun. And what you can do now is, no matter where you are as a transplant Canadian or an expat, you can run Canada Day with us. And just register on the virtual side. We'll mail you the medal, the shirt, and the bib, just like those 10 guys from Continental Tire out in Germany who are running it. All those expat Canadians. July 1st in Germany. You'll see a bunch of them running down the road. Can't wait to see the pictures on that one. You have been listening to Running Flat Radio on AM800. When we come back, Derek Murphy will join us right after these messages.
If you need new tires or just want new tires, nobody puts the rubber to the road like your Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram retailer. It's the 4-for-3 tire special. That's four new brand name tires for the price of three. You just can't beat that. Come in for the peace of mind maintenance service starting at just $69.95 and ask for the 4-for-3 tire special today. See your Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram retailer for details. We built it. We know it.
Radio for the active listener.
Get all my news in one place.
AM 800 CKLW. Radio Active! The information station.
AM 800 weather is brought to you by Devonshire Mall. Sign up today for our e-newsletter for exclusive access to all the exciting things at Devonshire Mall, and you could win a $50 gift card. Visit DevonshireMall.com for details.
Here's the latest forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center for tonight. Clearing overnight with light northeast winds and a low of 5. Sunny for tomorrow, the high near 18, except 12 near Lake Erie. A few clouds for tomorrow night, increasing clouds near midnight, a 60% chance of showers before morning, a low of 12. Cloudy Thursday, 60% chance of showers and a high of 19. For Friday, cloudy, 30% chance of showers and a high of 17.
Spring doesn't start until the Provincial Chrysler Spring 10 event.
Tomorrow to Sunday, sing into spring at Provincial Chrysler's massive 10 event.
Stretch and save up to $2,500 off any in-stock new or used vehicle.
Get 0% financing for up to 60 months on select Jeep Grand Cherokees.
Up to 72 months on select Dodge, Chrysler, and Fiat models.
Or up to 84 months on select Rams and Jeep Cherokees.
The Provincial Chrysler Spring 10 event begins tomorrow next to the Keg in the Devonshire Mall parking lot.
Helping you achieve your personal best. This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Yuzinski on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Yuzinski here. One thing I forgot to tell you was Color Run Nights. Color Run Nights, July 23rd. It's already open. It's selling really, really fast. It's a night event where we actually throw powder at night. We use black lighting. The powder is iridescent. You have a in your race kit, you have a black shirt that glows in the dark, and you also have a headlight that's black light. It's so cool. You're going to love it. July 23rd on the Windsor waterfront, Color Run Nights. You know what? Let's start talking to our featured guest, Derek Murphy, today. So cheating is as old as honesty and doing the right thing. Racing is not just a sport, but an international pastime where people actually boast about their superhuman accomplishments. And for years, and you know, even sometimes for generations, people have been known to go to extremes to get the advantage over their competitors. Some have downright cheated. From doping their blood to cutting the course, how far will they go? Well, remember in 2014, Tabitha Hamilton in the Chickamauga Battlefield Marathon in Nashville, who won she won the marathon, but her split time for the half marathon was 1 minute less than the world record. And how about Kendall Shearer from last year's St. Louis Marathon, who cut the course and said she always removes a timing chip from her bibs to make her go faster? And most famously in 1980, we played the clip at the top of the show, Rosie Ruiz, who took a cab and emerged out of the crowd and finished the Boston Marathon about a mile out. You know what? Oh, my. It takes some pretty big balls to cheat in sports, but especially for one that's so incredibly self-driven. Our guest on tonight's show has dedicated himself to the quest for truth and puts cheats on notice. He's the man behind Marathon Investigations and joins us from Cincinnati, Ohio. Welcome to the show, Derek Murphy.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, you know what? Great to have you. I got to ask you, let's start, because I know you're a busy guy, really busy guy with the download from yesterday's Boston Marathon results. But how did you get into running?
It was the spring of 2006. I was just completely out of shape. Couldn't run a mile. And the way I motivate myself is by kind of putting out there that, hey, I'm gonna start running. So I told all my friends, hey, I'm gonna do a marathon this fall. I couldn't run a mile. And it took me about 16 minutes to get a mile. So I just kind of started training, and I signed up right away. So I was locked into the Columbus Marathon.
Nice, nice.
And then I just kind of, they had a nice training series. So I went from 5K to a 10K to a 15 miler to a 20 miler. And every time I ran each of those races, that was the longest I've run to that point. Bottom line is, I made it to the marathon. I didn't finish fast, but I finished, and I was hooked. I ran my second marathon 2 months after that in Vegas. And then the next 3 years, I ran a total of 10 marathons. After that, then my daughter came, so I kind of reprioritized.
Right.
I kept on running, didn't race as much, ran when I could. And then after that, I have done two 24-hour races, the North Coast 24 up in Cleveland, the National Championship 24-hour race. So I did a couple of those. And again, it's just kind of about the experience, the
ultra distances.
Those are fun events. So I was more about the events than I was, you know, the training. Something always happened. But I came to appreciate, you know, what it takes to, you know, for the Boston qualifying level. I was never close to that, but I could definitely appreciate the work that goes into that. And I worked my butt off when I first started running and, you know, wasn't even close.
Our stories aren't dissimilar at all, by the way, starting in about 2004, 2005. But where did your knack for crunching the numbers and sussing things out and trying to sniff these folks out, where does that come from?
I've always been a numbers spreadsheet guy. I've been, you know, my day job, business analyst, you know, look at spreadsheets, create reports, just kind of trying to figure things out, you know, through the numbers. And it just, as far as with the race, it just kind of, you know, just kind of came to me as a way that people weren't typically looking at it. Like, you know, as race directors, you know, and you can attest to this, you'll typically, you know, you'll check the splits and, you know, you'll do all that stuff. And if people call you, you'll probably dig a little bit deeper. But I, as a general practice, the first step isn't to look at historical results. So by having the data, and, you know, I just thought, hey, let's look at the historical results, see what's, you know, see what works. And that kind of stemmed from the, you know, like from the Mike Rossi thing, where there wasn't a whole lot of evidence, but the historical results was what kind of gave him away.
Yeah, so let's take the listeners through the Mike Rossi story.
Yeah. Mike put up a qualifying time at a VIA marathon in 2014 to qualify for Boston 2015. No one had ever heard of Mike Rossi, so it's, you know, so we did it relatively quietly, you know, still boasted about social media and all that, but just, you know, just to his group. He, you know, he ran Boston in a time much slower than what he qualified in. Then he became known because, you know, he was the one, the dad who wrote the letter to a school principal when they got unexcused. You know, the kids got to know that they were, the absences were unexcused. So he posted a reply on Facebook that just went absolutely viral. And then by doing that, it, you know, somebody decided to check his results, or I think it might have been a little bit known locally that, hey, he didn't really qualify for this, and so that got out into the public and just, you know, blew up the running message boards, you know, let's run and whatnot, and it became very obvious. I mean, he was the only runner without any photos on the course, and, you know, he couldn't run the time. It was obvious. He never did get disqualified because this was a course where there were no mats, so they, you know, so as far as the race director was concerned there, they didn't disqualify him. So that never happened, but that definitely kind of, you know, got me aware. And that's, you know, when I just stumbled on the message board and stumbled on that story. And then, you know, everyone was just going on and on about Mike Rossi. And I said, well, if we care so much about him, what about, you know, how many other cheaters are out there? That's what kind of got me going when I just glanced at random results and found somebody right away.
Right.
So that's what kind of started me interested a little more.
So for some of the listeners who are just joining us, so Boston Marathon is the second oldest road race in North America. It's the granddaddy of marathon running. It's usually a pinnacle or a goal for the marathon runner to be able to qualify somewhere within their lifespan. Because as you get older, the qualifying time gets longer for you to be able to actually qualify for the race. And to be accepted into the Boston Marathon, you have to qualify at another marathon within 12 months prior, and you have to have it at a specific time compared to your age. So women can run a little bit slower than men, and it changes every 5 years in increments of your age. And what's important to know is that what we're talking about tonight is kind of how people have cheated to qualify to get into the Boston Marathon. And you and I started back and forth a number of weeks ago on a story about Gia Alvarez. Yeah. Can you tell us about her?
Yeah, with Gia, and it was funny, even before that, maybe about a month ago, I received an email from a runner who, you know, he saw my blog and said, hey, I'm aware of this runner. I reported it to the Boston Athletic Association. They didn't get back to me. You know, this runner, you know, gave her bib away to a friend last year. And now that bibs are available, I see that she has, she's registered and she has a bib that's not a charity bib. And you can tell that the charity bibs are a higher number. And all the other bibs, they're, you know, they kind of go in sequence from lowest is your fastest runner and the higher is a slower runner. So when she saw that she got a bib that she thinks she didn't earn, that's, you know, that's when she notified the BAA and myself. So I was aware of it, but I didn't really do anything about it. I said, well, you've notified the BAA, and I wasn't really familiar with Gia, how popular she was, or, you know, I knew she had a blog and all that. And then it was a couple weeks after that, Gia posted on her blog that she was disqualified because she gave her bib away. And banned for life. That was only just one small part of it. I think if that's all she did, which that's bad enough, I don't think she'd be banned for life, but she also used her friend's time that ran for her in 2014 2015 to register for the 2016 race.
So the part of the story that's a little a little more disturbing is that she gave her friend the bib because she was pregnant, correct?
Right.
And her friend ran it in such a good time that requalified her for Boston the following year.
Yes.
And then she decided to put her hat in the ring based on her friend's time with the Gia bib.
Exactly.
Now, the public outcry, which to me was shocking.
Yeah, me too.
Was actually not because, oh my gosh, how could she do that? She didn't even run the race. It was the other way around. I mean, folks were actually coming out and saying, oh, well, you know, shame on that person for ratting Gia out.
Yeah, it was a little bit of that, but yeah, I think in general when, you know, I posted, so once, you know, she posted, hey, I've been banned, and, you know, I saw the replies coming on her, like, oh, you know, poor Gia, you know, all that stuff. I quickly just threw up a blog post. I didn't think it would be anything, just saying, hey, here, you know, she left one point out, and I provided the evidence that showed that, you know, the bib number that she got matched the qualifying time that her friend ran, you know, and I posted that up, and I, you know, put it on Facebook, and then it just got picked up as, you know, as the, I think it was probably the first one I posted about it, and that just got picked up, and, you know, the blog went viral, and there's all kinds of attention, and then shortly after that, she did make another post, you know, coming clean that, yeah, she used her friend's time, and she shouldn't have done it, and, you know, and it went from there, but yeah, that, I was amazed, the initial response, and that's why I had, you know, once I jumped in, I think it turned. I mean, if you read even her blog followers, once they realized that she used someone else's time, it turned quick.
It was incredible, because I kind of played it out along with you, and then actually kind of reached out to you and said, hey, you know what, it's an incredible story. I mean, I'd love to have you on the show talking about what you do and what you've been finding. Would you stay with us through the break?
Yes.
Derek Murphy from Marathon Investigations joins us. You're listening to Running Flat Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
Smell of our new freshly baked McCafe pastries with a McCafe premium roast coffee. But you can't smell it, so imagine flaky pastries turning golden brown in our oven, butter filling the air as decadent chocolate melts, coffee made with fragrant Arabica beans. You better pull over.
Pair a delectable mini chocolatine with a small McCafe premium roast coffee for just $1.99 plus tax. For a limited time at participating McDonald's restaurants in Ontario.
The latest news, traffic, and weather at the top and 30 minutes past the hour.
And breaking news when it happens. AM 800 CKLW, the information station.
AM 800 is more mobile than ever. Download our free AM 800 radio app at am800cklw.com
and listen live on your BlackBerry, iPod Touch, iPhone, or iPad.
It's 7:30.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor, Essex. An information update with Paul McDonald.
There's a new treasurer and chief financial officer at the city of Windsor. Joseph Mancina takes over from Honorio Colucci, who was promoted to chief administrative officer when Helga Rydell left for Enwin. Mancina has been with the city's finance department for 26 years, the past 9 years as deputy treasurer of financial accounting. A piece of equipment used to shred straw is blamed for igniting a massive dairy farm fire in Tecumseh. Crews were called out to Jobin Farms in the 4700 block of Concession 11 just after 6 last night. Firefighters from Lakeshore, LaSalle, Essex, Amherstburg, and Windsor assisted in putting out the fire. Fire Prevention Officer Bob Hamilton says they had to return just after 10:30 this morning when the fire reignited. Damage tops $1 million. A Leamington man is facing impaired driving charges after police say they found a driver asleep at the wheel in a major intersection in the town. Officers were called to Oak and Erie Streets just before 11:30 last night and found a gray Chevrolet in the through lane of the intersection. The driver was given a roadside screening, which police say he failed. And The new community center has opened in Kingsville. It's located at the Kingsville Community Church on Division Road North. Director Tom Harmon says the center has partnered with several community groups, including Access Kingsville, the Windsor-Essex Community Health Center, and Girl Guides of Canada, to offer a variety of programs. In sports, the Red Wings trail the Lightning 1-0 in the first period of Game 4 of their opening round NHL playoff action. Canada improved to 4-0 at the World Under-18 Men's Hockey Championship with a 3-1 win over Finland today. Weather-wise, clearing overnight with a low of 5, 14 right now. That's 57 Fahrenheit. I'm Paul McDonald, AM 800 News.
When you're able to focus your mind and your body, anything's possible.
From 5K runs to half marathons
to the full 26.2 miles.
We talk about it all on Running Flat Radio, Tuesdays, 7 till 8 on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Uzinski here. Our special guest tonight is Derek Murphy from Marathon Investigations, and we're just talking about cheaters. This is our cheaters show, kind of talking about how people cheat. And Derek was just finishing off a story about Gia Alvarez and how she cheated. So was it after Gia that you actually started taking a look at the rest of the Boston numbers?
No, we've been doing that since last, really it was since August of last year, and off and on. Again, this is, you know, that's not my full-time deal.
Right.
So we started looking in August, where I came up with the ideas, you know, hey, let's look at, you know, we know a lot of people are cheating to earn Boston qualifiers, and I'd found a number of those, but hey, how many are actually, you know, doing that and then registering for Boston? That's where I came up with the idea to, hey, let's, you know, look at people who run slower than their Boston qualifying time, you know, in Boston by a significant percent. With the way the bib numbers are assigned in Boston, it's easy to be able to calculate what their qualifying time was. So, using the download of the bib numbers and the finishing times, we, you know, filtered the list on the runners that were most likely, to have cheated. And even then, it was still a very small percentage, but we had to cut it down. We went through about 1,500 or so runners. And, you know, we found without doubt, actually is up to, I think it's up to like 57 at this point, that either, you know, that cheated in one of a variety of ways. We talked about bib swapping. That's the most common.
Yeah.
Where, you know, someone qualifies legitimately and then either sells their bib or gives their bib away for whatever reason, whether it's, in the case of Gia, where it's seemingly innocent, people have qualified, don't want to run and want to make a buck and sell it. Or whatnot. So, you get that. You have some bib forgeries.
Yeah. I want to touch upon that in a second, but just to kind of go through the raw data of the Boston Marathon 2015, There's 27,167 finishers. And then out of that, you boiled down to 2,439 that finished 20 minutes or more below their qualifying times.
Right.
And then out of that, there was 1,409 that were suspect of wrongdoing. What is, and how did you figure that out?
Really, the 1,409, that was a subset of the 2,439. So we ended up, we pulled it by 20 minutes, then we sorted by the percentage difference. So that's how many we got through. The other ones, there's 1,000 or so that we didn't get a chance to review. We just ran out of time.
And then
moving on.
And then for sure out of that, 57 are cheaters.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's a whole lot more where it just didn't have the information where it doesn't look right, but I just can't say, I don't have enough to email a race director, have them disqualified.
Right. So now let's talk about, the ways people cheat. Now, we talked about Rosie Ruiz. She's a course cutter.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. If you're not Boston, Detroit, or, one of the majors, and you're running a marathon, extra mats are very, very, very expensive to put on a course. To produce split times and also to prove that someone's actually made that turn. And I just wanted to preface the conversation as a race director saying that, is that there's lots of small marathons out there that, run 200, 300, 1,000 people every year. And dude, it's really, really expensive to throw those mats in. But those mats are also what you're relying on, to really make sure that person has actually done the course. Course marshalling also proves that as well. But the reality is, and I can't remember how many split mats Boston has. Is it six?
I should know that. Boston does a good job, so I don't typically run through their results because they clean it up themselves. But yeah, it's a number, and I mean, some of them have them every mile. So there's some of the big ones. There's no way you can cut it without being caught. People still do it, but it's obvious.
Correct. Because when you're looking at their times, they're not even. And, so when someone's just looking at the times, they'll be able to find that out.
Right.
So there's course cutters. There's bib cloners, right? Yep. And I saw a post the other day about there's like four bibs, and they're all the identical number that someone was wearing in Boston by, I think there's like a woman wearing and a couple of guys wearing, all the same number. So it happens.
That's why they don't post your bib on social media, and that's why. They put that out every year now,
right? Because someone's just going to copy it or photocopy it, and just print it out on a jet laser. So there's bib, then there's bib bandits, right? Where you're actually just giving somebody a bib. As an RD, I was running with a couple guys the other day, and they told me, hey, a couple years ago, my buddy told me that he would run Boston for me, do it in whatever time I wanted it done. Another guy said, hey, I'll get you into Boston, or I'll run Boston for you. And, it's incredible that there is this subculture that has gone on for a number of years.
Yeah, and I see a lot of that where I call them the bib mules, where you have somebody else run for you to qualify you.
Bib mules.
Sometimes it's intentional where, hey, you run for me and qualify me, or someone gave a bib away and the person they gave it to or sold it to qualified and they use it. So you get, there's a number of those. I think out of the 57, I think there were 12 of those where, somebody else qualified and then, like what Gia would have done, if she wasn't stopped. So you get a lot of that. And really going into it, I was focused mostly on the course cutters because that's what I'd, caught before. I didn't realize, how many, bib swappers I'd find and bib mules. The course cutting is probably the most interesting of it.
Any other interesting stories that have come up really recently in your investigations?
The one, and it's one I posted, there's a couple who they've done it all. and they've been disqualified a bunch, but I think he's run it three or four times and never earned it. This picture with her one picture in 2014, I believe, with him, where she had copied a bib and it was just one off from his bib number, so it's obvious that they used his bib and then modified that to use the copier. And then they've cut courses, each of them three or four times, and been disqualified a bunch, and it's just amazing what the lengths they go to, and they do it so obviously too. I think they probably ran their last boss, and they were running it yesterday, so I think that's probably their last one, because I think even though they do have a qualifier for 2017, I'm pretty sure we can prove to them that
they didn't do it.
That wasn't legit. And then we had the the one runner who he had a website up in Australia for the WV marathons, and it was obvious that he had cut courses, so we put that article up, and he word got to him. He quickly shut down his website and it's been emailing me quite a bit, so I went ahead, I think he did enough, so I went ahead and took that article down. Word's getting out, so as I get more viewers, I'm having more of an impact. And at the same time, I have to be more careful on what I post, since I'm getting quite a bit of eyes on them now.
And do you think there's legal ramifications to this?
I just have to make sure that what I post is accurate. Other than that, I don't. There's no issues. But I'm being more careful because I don't want, if I'm posting somebody and somebody admits, I cheated, and I'm not going to leave it up because you don't know who's going to try to contact and say something to them. So I don't want people to get harassed. Now I'm getting more traffic, I probably will definitely cut down on the number of individual stories and focus more on the big picture, on the numbers and the project and what we're doing going forward. Focus less, unless it's really newsworthy, on the individual anonymous cheater.
So I'm a member of Running USA, which most of the race directors in the United States belong to, and I'd love to have you at our conference next year. I think it'd be an absolute hoot to talk about some of these specifics, and it's not so much for what's happening at Boston, but what's happening in all the small marathons, kind of help the race directors out some.
Yeah, and there's a lot, and I found now that I've gotten a little bit of a voice, whether I expected it or not, that when I I'm reaching out to race directors now that they're, you know, being more responsive. And then I've gotten some emails preemptively from race directors asking, hey, what do you think of this guy? Or, hey, by the way, you know, we disqualified this runner. You know, you might want to keep an eye on him in future results. So that's, yeah, I want to be cooperative. I'm not, and that's another reason. If I know if I post, you know, that somebody that Joe Smith cheated at this marathon, the race director's probably going to get 20, 30, 50 emails, depending on, you know, how many views I get. So, so I don't want to post everybody and have, you know, all the, you know, race directors get, yeah, get bombarded. So I'm trying to kind of keep that centralized a little bit.
But is it not the reality that most of this is actually being self-generated by other runners identifying this or seeing people or hearing about the stories? Isn't that where most of the leads are also coming from?
For this last project, no. But now I'm getting, for 2016 already, I've got probably about eight good leads. And some of them were multiple ones on the same people from that ran yesterday that I need to follow up on. So we'll see how that keeps on going. So, yeah, people are definitely looking and, you know, watching. I'm sure, you know, everyone who sees the cheaters is not calling me. So I'm sure there's, you know, so they're getting plenty of, you know, emails into Boston, too, on the same runners and on additional ones. So.
That's awesome. You know, thanks a lot for what you do, man. You know, it's such a solitary sport, but there's such a huge movement, and we kind of need a little bit of policing from here and there, and especially what happened with Gio was just unbelievable. Watching that all play out on social media.
Yeah, and I think it'll have an impact. I think people are now aware that, hey, you know, bib swapping is, you know, whether that was the, you know, the last straw that really got her banned for life. But yeah, I think now they're starting to realize that, hey, yeah, it is an issue. And I still see people say, oh, it's no big deal, but the safety, you know, it's a safety thing, the medical thing, especially in Boston, of all places, they should know that there's a...
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah. Issue there. Just, yeah, so I think if people are aware of that, I'm sure there's probably some people who were going to give the bib away who didn't want to risk it this year.
Which was the comment I made to you early on in the process, right, was as an RD, yep. I mean, for me, it's about security. And it's because that bib is tied to a specific person with an emergency number. And yep. And if they're not running under that number, then who are we calling?
Right.
You know, it's just like, you know, and again, you know, from Boston's standpoint, it's a whole other security issue. Or if you're Detroit and you have the international border going back and forth with a passport tied to it, again, it's a whole other subset of issues. But yeah, it's a big issue. And thanks for highlighting it. Really appreciate that.
Hey, you're welcome.
Derek, thanks for joining us. And hopefully we'll see you next year at Running USA. Be great to...
Yeah, that'd be great. Keep in touch.
I you know what? I'll suggest that. All the best. Thanks for joining
us. All right. Thank you.
Derek Murphy has Marathon Investigations. Check him out. There's some fascinating blogs, especially some of his comments that he's been making on some of the races and some of the cheaters, highlighting what's been going on over the last couple years in the sport, but really just kind of taking people to task. It's now time for Song of the Week, and this week's song is by Kassassin Street, and the song is Hand in My Pocket on Running Flat Radio.
Beautiful Epping Forest RV Trailer Park on Lake Erie, across from the old Clausen Blueberry Farm, offers ideal accommodations for vacations or even seasonal stays. Right on the lake, Epping Forest offers bingo, darts, cards, horseshoes, a swimming pool, a social hall, not to mention 30 amp electricity, sewer hookups, washrooms, and showers. Book your 2015 space now before it's too late. Epping Forest Trailer Park. Start planning your stay. Contact your host, John, at 519-738-2811. Epping Forest Trailer Park. On the lake.
AM 800 weather is brought to you by the Bargain Annex.
Need a TV? Need credit?
Bargain Annex to the rescue!
Get your appliances and credit back on track today. The Bargain Annex inside Deppermans.
Here's the latest forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center for tonight. Clearing overnight with light northeast winds and a low of 5. Sunny for tomorrow, the high near 18, except 12 near Lake Erie. A few clouds for tomorrow night, increasing clouds near midnight. A 60% chance of showers before morning, a low of 12. Cloudy Thursday, 60% chance of showers and a high of 19. For Friday, cloudy, 30% chance of showers and a high of 17.
Hi, it's Scott McGilvery here from HGTV's hit show Income Property. For years, I've been helping people on TV create wealth through real estate, and now I'm coming live and in person to show you the systems I use to generate profits in this market. I will reveal the most effective strategies for long-term wealth, and I'll show you why now is the best time to take advantage of this opportunity.
Scott will be in Windsor on April 30th, but seating is limited. Go to thewealthtour.com to reserve your free ticket. That's thewealthtour.com.
I'll see you there.
It feels great to get more than you expect, like getting 2 chocolate bars from the vending machine. Getting an enormous birthday present. Yay! Or launching those celebratory fireworks. Wind gives you more than you're used to. For only $40 a month, you get unlimited talk and text with 3 gigs of data plus a bonus 2 gigs. Offer ends soon. Visit winmobile.ca.
Wind, true mobile freedom.
Assassin's Creed with Hand in My Pocket on Running Flat Radio. That's kind of like our song of the week. It's a song you want to add to your list, keep it fresh, and keep running. You know what? It's now time to bring in our good friend Ben Kaplan from Iron Magazine.
This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800. Tonight's running news is brought to you by Iron.
Welcome to the show, Ben. How are you?
I can't complain. Yourself, sir.
Awesome. Awesome. I had a great weekend of running.
Nice.
And, you know, it's for those of you who know me or don't know me, I have asthma. So it's always really difficult to do cold weather running. This last week has been a little bit of cold, you know, like that freezing at the start of the morning. So it's been pretty kind of tough. But last weekend was a gorgeous weekend. So,
nice.
So you know, it's kind of giving the lungs some volume and you know, just look, I do what I can do. And that's what I want to tell everybody. You know what? We talked about Boston today and cheaters. And, we're talking about, guys who maybe run a 4-hour but have been, qualifying with a 3:10. And really, who cares? It's all about if you can get out there and if you can run and if you can walk today and enjoy the sunshine and listen to the frogs and the birds, then bloody well do it.
And
you'll be better off for it because, we can get lost in the minutiae of as runners, how do you do this and how do you do that and how do I better my time? And you know what? How about, it's really funny. Over my desk at the office, I have this huge picture of my Goofy medals from 2007 framed. Around my Goofy medals are, I believe there's 14 pictures that I took with an Instamatic camera. It didn't even have a digital camera in 2007 to run with, of me and all the characters in all the Disney parks. And I look at it every day and I laugh. And you know what? I don't know. It was like a 4:11 marathon or 4:12 marathon at Disney with all those pictures. Dude, I'll take it. That's awesome.
Man, you said it well. It's some of that stuff. It's just like it gets just lost in the mix, and it's just that doesn't have anything to do with anything. Just the sheer joy of being outside in the sun, and maybe with your buddy, maybe you're by yourself, maybe you got your favorite song on the Walkman, maybe you're just clearing your mind, not thinking about anything, or maybe you're working some kind of problem, but just. That is all you need, man, just to get out there.
Amen, Brother Ben. Hey, so what are you, and you and I had a little conversation this week about the top 10 things new runners should know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I did it. So instead of that, it's like the four things you need and the four things you don't need. How about that? Can we break it down like that?
I can increase that list exponentially.
All right. So let's I'll trade you then. How about that? We go one for one.
Oh, I don't know about that, but go ahead.
All right. Okay. So one of the things I'll say you need, and let's just say this is just to get you going. So not to run once or twice, but to, you know, sort of make, call it a runner and put that in quotes. But okay, just so somebody who does it, let's say, twice a week, you know, something like that, three times a week.
Okay.
Twice a week. All right. One of the things I say you could use is a plan, okay? So you have some sort of idea of what we're trying to do. So you're not just out there kind of, you know, chasing your tail. You're not really certain about it. So I'd say, and they say, a goal without a plan is a dream. And I've always liked that. So it helps. So let's say, you know, today is April 19th. I would say what you need to do is find something. Maybe there's a 10K May 30th. Who knows when it is? But you figure out when that is, and you sign up for it. You know, you make some sort of commitment. And you don't go crazy. No one's saying, you know, sign up for a marathon. I want to be a runner. I'm going to do a marathon May 30th. No, you know, you're doomed to fail. You know, you're not going to write a novel by that time. You know, but why don't you put down a couple of sentences? So a plan to start and a race to do it. Okay? That's something you need. Another thing you sort of need, and me and you are both on the same page, where nobody wants to see anybody going broke becoming a runner.
Right.
Not what it's about. It wasn't about that when it started. It's not about that now. But your shoes should fit. You know, you need, and I'm not saying you need the top of the line shoes with jet engines on them and shoes that can go underwater 100 feet or some kind of...
I like the ones with the lights in them.
Moonraker shoes, you know, where you can walk on lava. You don't need any, you know, you go to Winners, but the point is, though, you know, it should fit. You should feel comfortable. If your shoes are uncomfortable, you may secretly love running, but you're not going to like it if you're... You know, toes are crunched up.
Yeah, shin splints and everything else. And without a doubt, go visit your local running store. Your local running store is the epicenter of running in that community. It's the heartbeat of this community. So go to your local running store and at least get fitted to figure out what the hell kind of shoes you need. You know, which I think is critical. So I need to put in my two cents. And Ben, if I can I add one more?
Please do.
Go see a cardiologist. Every runner, if you're thinking of running, just ask your GP to say, hey, send me to a cardiologist. I need to get a workup just to make sure everything is okay. You know, look, it's May coming up. It's going to be marathon season. There will be a couple fatalities in the news guaranteed in the month of May caused by someone who had a undiagnosed cardiac condition and they arrested at a marathon or half marathon.
Good call.
It's a law of numbers. It's
good
going
call.
To happen. Oh, and by the way, your local mall has more heart attacks than runners do.
Good call, man. Good call.
But please, don't give us bad press. Go get yourself checked out because your loved ones want to see you at the finish line. And in a couple weeks, we'll have you know, our good friends from the Canadian Cardiac Center on talking about that.
That said,
yes.
That said, don't. I have so many runners who are starting to do it, and they're so worried about injuries, and they're so worried about their gait and how their foot lands, and if their form is right, and what they need to do and what they're doing wrong, and they start with this and that, and everybody is so paranoid that, can I run or am I going to hurt my knees, or can I, why do runners always get, you know, get a bad back and all of these things? And it's like, I don't know. I, you know, when I did my clinic, like, the people were fine. You're not, the running isn't in this inherently dangerous thing, like you're going out to play, you know, full contact ice hockey against the Capitals in game 7. You know, to run around your block and do 3K, you know, I've spoken to a lot of people about this, and the form that you have when you go run, if the bus is leaving and it's 7:45 and you don't want to miss that 7:45, how you go chase that bus is probably a right form for you. That's what, you know, the guy who, Ben O'Nig, the guy in Calgary who started everything with pronation, the pronating, correcting shoes and all
right.
of that, he says now that, like, he wishes he never said anything because those pronating, correcting shoes, that didn't bring injuries down. Odds are you don't need pronation, correcting shoes. Odds are the way you run naturally when you're going for the bus is just fine. I mean, you do what comes natural to you and what feels comfortable. So don't worry about that. You know, as we get deeper in the sport and as you start going for 20-kilometer long runs and things, okay, we can talk about it. But I'm talking about if you're just starting now, you know, relax. Don't worry. You're not going to hurt your knees. I mean, you might, but, like, I don't know. I think you're more likely just not to go running than to go running and hurt your knees.
In reality, everyone has a different body type and everyone has a different style in the way they look running. I, for instance, look terrible running and always have because I've had four hip surgeries, you know, as a kid. So I do have this really odd running gait, but that's just me, you know, because I do things differently than other people do. And that's just the way it happens. So, there's great running coaches out there that will kind of help you with placement and gaits and stuff like that. But don't overcomplicate it.
That's all I'm saying. And you can get all of that stuff. But all I'm saying is do you need it right now? And do you need it between now and your 10K? I mean, what I always tell people and what I think you should do is, like, look, do a 10K, sign up for a 10K at the end of May or whatever, beginning of June, whatever it is, and let's just see if you like it, you know? Let's see if you can stick with it between now and the middle of May. Do it for a month, you know? And after you do it for a month, like, then let's decide, okay? Then you can get the $40 Lululemon socks. I mean, because you know what? I have those socks and I like them. I mean, it's not, you know, if you, but I use them.
And I like them.
But I use them 5 times a week. And so it's like if you're going to do it, but nothing worse than having that fancy, those fancy socks in your drawer collecting dust, you know?
And, you know, we're pretty much out of time, Ben, but also drag a buddy into it because that buddy's going to keep you going longer and longer and get you to your goal of the 10K. Ben, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, my buddy.
Ben Kaplan, the editor-in-chief of iRun Magazine, joining us every week here on Running Flat Radio. We are out of time. Thanks for a special guest today, Marathon Investigations, Derek Murphy from Cincinnati, who joined us. Check out his blog. For more information about Le Chocolat, Canada Day, the Color Run Nights, or any of our other runs, please go to runningflat.com and also join any one of our Facebook pages that you might be interested in and on Twitter at Running Flat. Thanks to all of you who are downloading this show in record numbers and allowing me to keep you company during your run or your walk or your workout. And we'll be back in 7 days with Julie Weiss, one of the most colorful women in running today. So until next week, I'm Chris Uzinski. Keep running.
End of episode.
Running Flat Radio with Chris Uzinski. Tuesday night, 7 till 8 on AM 800.
Running Flat Radio is a paid program.
Local news is next on AM 800 CKLW, the information station.